This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I cannot believe these are the last few hours of February. I cannot believe we're about to usher in the month of March. Now, if you believe in cliches, and there's an element of truth to every cliche, there's the whole weather dealio about in like a lion, out like a lamb. Maybe February was the lion and March will be the lamb, because February was a wild weather month for a good portion of the United States. The majority of the U.S. faced some crazy weather over the last few months. Well, last few weeks, excuse me, over the last month. There goes the perfect show. It lasted all of, 45 seconds. And off and running into a new work week. Not everyone has turned the calendar to March yet, so let's not get over eager beavers. But by the time we get through this show, March will be upon us. I can't even grasp that. I really can't. I was writing a blog post on Sunday. I finished it and published it, so I'll share the link with you in a little bit. But I was writing a blog post, and I was kind of doing it in reflection of the last year. Because, you know, March is the month in which the United States first faced the pandemic head on, and we had our number of cases start to grow. And all the dominoes drop, not just in the sports world, but in greater society at large. March is the month in which our lives changed so drastically and so dramatically. Almost a year ago. We're 2 weeks shy of that date when companies started sending people home. And for our perspective, for our purposes, when sports shut down like a funeral march. March with the funeral march. I can't believe it's been a year. Now, coming up later on this week when we don't have so much to do, because it's a really busy night because it was a really busy weekend. Coming up a little later in the week, we'll talk about our reflections and what we'll take away from the last year, because I think it's important to stop, take stock, evaluate, look around, put to bed the regrets, and then face forward again to the future. You never want to dwell on the past, but it's always wise, at least in my opinion, to periodically look at how far you've come or look at where you fell flat on your face. And man, the last year has been a whole bunch of all of that. For sports fans, March means March Madness. Oh, how we've missed you. And yes, there will be a tournament. Book it, peeps, book it. Selection Sunday, 2 weeks from today. In fact, 2 weeks from exactly this moment, we will be talking about what the brackets look like and who the top four seeds are, who the fill-in teams are. Now, I know technically they're called the first four out, but this year they've got a new role. And we're going to go over all of that with Jerry Palm. Not only is he the CBS Sports bracketologist, but like everyone who covers college basketball, like everyone who covers sports, he's had to adjust to rules and protocols and had to be flexible in covering a sport that has limited access. But if college football can do it, so can college basketball. If the NBA can do it, so can college hoops. If the NFL can do it without any kind of bubble, so can these schools if they really want to win that NCAA tournament. And so we are just weeks away. And actually, if you pull the lens out a little bit, you zoom out, we're just over a month away from the Final Four. It's all happening, peeps. And so Jerry will join us an hour from now. He's got all kinds of updates to his brackets in the wake of the games on Saturday and Sunday. The biggest development being the loss by Baylor, first loss of the season by the Bears. But that's not it. North Carolina finally gets fans in the arena, and Roy Williams celebrates win number 900 as a head coach. But what are the chances both Duke and North Carolina miss this year's Field of 68? So a lot to talk about with Jerry. What will the tournament look like in Indianapolis? How are they setting it up? What caveats do they have in place if teams develop an issue? So we'll talk college hoops coming up an hour from now. We'll try to cram in as much as possible between now and then. It's an all-out blitz into March and through the work week. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, easy to find, and my Twitter, A-Law Radio. There's a lot to talk about, both in sports, but also a couple of fun updates to share with you. I can't give them away. That, my friends, is called a tease. But a couple of cool show things, show stuff, the technical term for it. Couple of fun updates to give you. I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. It was a Mission Impossible weekend for me. I don't know why, but I decided to dive down the rabbit hole with MI movies. So I spent a good portion of the weekend. I would do some cleaning or do some errands or get a couple of items checked off my to-do list, and then I'd watch some Mission Impossible. It was fun. I got the six-pack of movies from the library. The Blu-ray came in with all six movies. And so, as if I needed any more incentive to sit on my butt and watch Mission Impossible, it was nice that they were all at my fingertips. But I did get some other stuff done as well. Bunch of work things, as I say, the technical term, to get ready for this week and also looking ahead to March, which starts to get really busy. We're not that far away from the start of Major League Baseball, and Albert Pujols, while he's leaving us in the dark when it comes to his future, not so his wife, actually. She's more than happy to tell us his plans. But Albert is leaving us in the dark officially about his plans. And so we don't know yet if 2021 will be his last season, but we'll hear from him a little bit later on. There was a smorgasbord of dramatic NBA action over the weekend. And do you know what Sunday is? The 22nd birthday of Luka Doncic. The young man is the ripe old age of 22. 22. Think about all he's accomplished. Going back to, obviously, his first days in the NBA, it didn't take long for him to get acclimated and start to tear up the league. 22 years old on Sunday. And it seems like every time he steps on the court, a new NBA record is shattered. And so happy birthday to Luka Doncic. A game winner for the Boston Celtics. A performance that reminds people why Devin Booker deserves to go to the All-Star game. And the Milwaukee Bucks may be grabbing that momentum back again. We've also got yet another milestone in the NHL. Just last week, we were celebrating with Sidney Crosby as he played in his 1,000th NHL game. And I even wrote a CBS Sports Minute. And I talked about how it feels like Sid the Kid, who's no longer a kid, has been around forever. And now you've got another NHL fixture who's kind of in the same boat. You know how much I love my nerd alerts. But if you don't mind, I want to start with a red shirt. To be exact, dozens of red shirts. And a tweet from one Tiger Woods. This is kind of cool. This is not Tiger's team. This is actually Tiger himself posting a tweet just a couple hours ago in which he shared his emotion at seeing so many golfers in Bradenton, Florida. So that's where the PGA Tour resumed. In the wake of Tiger's accident, of course, we heard a lot of golfers who were preparing for this weekend's tournament, heard a lot of them shaken, emotional, anxious for Tiger, for his injuries, for his family, for his recovery. A lot of them sharing heartfelt messages about what Tiger means to the PGA Tour and to golf in general. And they organized a bit of a movement, if you will, on Sunday. Dozens of players wearing his Sunday red, his Sunday best in a red shirt. You saw them all over the place. The PGA Tour actually tweeted a bunch of photos. So, producer Dave, if you wouldn't mind just going and retweeting from our show account, After Hours CBS, you can see a bunch of golfers, and not just golfers, but the maintenance staff at the Puerto Rican Open, they all wore red. Tony Finau did his absolute best to dress exactly as Tiger would have for the final round in Florida. He had the mock neck, so the red mock neck, the black pants, the Nike hat backward. That's how he showed up at the golf course on Sunday. And Finau himself said, "I was pretty inspired." He was inspired because he heard that so many fellow golfers were planning to wear red on Sunday. He said, "Red and black, that's what Tiger does on Sundays. So just to let Tiger know we're supporting him in the best way we can." Phil Mickelson bought a shirt in Arizona so that he could join in and pay tribute to Tiger Woods. So it's kind of cool. All golf names that you would know. Although Justin Thomas got a little bit of flack because his red appeared to be more pinkish. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tiger Woods taking to Twitter. "It is hard to explain how touching today was when I turned on the TV and saw all the red shirts. To every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time." Now, to this point, we've had Tiger's team tweeting. Couple of updates, not a whole lot. Initially, the doctor sharing with us what the injuries looked like and how the surgery went. Then long after the fact, after it had happened and everybody knew about it, Tiger's team tweeting that he'd been moved to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. But this was Tiger himself. "It is hard to explain how touching today was when I turned on the TV and saw all the red shirts." Colin Morikawa, who considers Tiger to be his idol, he's early 20s, has already collected a bunch of wins, including the WGC on Sunday, a 3-shot victory over Brooks Koepka. He actually got emotional himself. He couldn't wear red because his gear didn't arrive in time, but he wanted the win to be in honor of Tiger Woods.
Tiger means everything to me. And, you know, yes, he had the crash, and thankfully he's all right, and hopefully he has a quick and great recovery. But I don't think we say thank you enough, so I want to say thank you to Tiger. Because, you know, sometimes you lose people too early, and that's like, you know, Kobe, I lost my grandpa about a month ago. And you don't get to say thank you enough, so thank you guys.
Colin Morikawa starts with, Tiger means everything to me. And it took me a couple of times listening to it to realize he said Kobe. You can kind of hear it, but I wasn't sure if I misheard it or if he was talking about his grandfather. But he mentions Kobe, Tiger's accident. You can hear him tear up and get choked up when he talks about his grandfather about a month ago. So these golfers, emotional themselves, going out there and playing in Tiger's honor. But how cool to know that he was watching, that he was able to do that. That in and of itself is a huge positive. To get that confirmation from Tiger that he's okay to tweet, he can watch TV, such simple things, and that he knows all of these guys are saying thank you. All of these guys coming together. He may not be out there, and he hasn't been out there yet this season. He may not be out there, but they are thinking of him in California.
For us, it's just a gesture to let him know that we're thinking about him and we're rooting for him. And obviously, things are looking a little better today than they were on Tuesday. But he's still got a ways to go. He's got a huge recovery ahead of him. But I think just for everyone to show their appreciation of what he means to us out here.
That's the voice of one Rory McIlroy. And there were many others. Again, check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can see some of the photos, the tweet from Tiger Woods being a nice cap to the week and the emotional roller coaster for the PGA Tour. So many of them being in Florida as the tour shifted to the East Coast, to the Southeast, having to move forward. The Players Championship coming up now in just a few days. And so Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour trying to move forward with what is such a big event as they really kick it into high gear. And of course, the Masters is just over a month away. And yet, as you can imagine, there's no way they play golf. There's no way that anyone is around golf these days without thinking about Tiger Woods. But so far, so good. He's had some follow-up procedures. That was an announcement that was made over the weekend. No real specifics. I imagine that they continue to clean out the open wound and monitor Tiger's lower right leg specifically for any signs of infection, because that's the biggest danger right now. But no news, no major news is good news. All right, we're just getting started. There's a lot to talk about. As I mentioned, I got a couple of show updates that I'm very pleased, a little bit giddy over. We'll share those coming up. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk college hoops. There's not much in the NFL, which was kind of funny. It was a quiet weekend, except for Drew Brees. I will explain. And Devin Booker reminding you that you really never should have left him off the All-Star team in the first place.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Under a minute to go, Sharic sets the screen for Paul. Right elbow jumper for Booker is cash, and he's got 20 first half points. Shot clock's down to 9. Booker dribbling on the logo. Got a round read straight to the rim. Laid it up. Count that basket and the foul as Booker gets sent down onto the floor. Spinning around in a circle. He's got a chance at a three-point play in an acrobatic deuce of damage.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Even without the glory of Devin Booker on Sunday, a 21-3 run is pretty sweet as the Phoenix Suns are on the road against Minnesota. And they come up with a nice third and fourth quarter stretch, a surge in the second half. And along the way, Booker pours in 43 points, a season high for him, but really focused on the games and, of course, the struggle that is the Western Conference. It's pretty crazy right now. And Phoenix, we thought would be one of the great surprises. Well, surprises would be one of the great upstarts in 21. Why? Well, because of what we saw of them when they went 8-0 in the bubble last fall. And they have picked up where they left off, now winning 8 of their last 10. But really important to keep it going as we are just about to hit the All-Star break.
You know, I feel live ball turnovers were something that we talked about at halftime. And, you know, we didn't want these nights to be one of those nights. I think all of our losses have their own characteristics that, you know, stick with us, and they don't feel good. So, you know, just wanted to put that thought away in the third quarter and get it going.
Devin Booker, a late replacement for an injured player in the All-Star game. So whether or not these guys actually want to play it, certainly nice of your Booker to have a bunch of your peers, including one LeBron James, take to social media and say the biggest snub of the All-Star week is not having Phoenix and Devin Booker represented. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. How excited are you about March Madness? I'm looking forward to it. And when we talk to Jerry Palm, we'll get some of the details about how it will look, as much as we can tell, when the tournament heads to Indianapolis. So similar to what the NBA and the NHL had to do, similar to even Major League Baseball, who wasn't in a bubble until they got to the postseason, well, the World Series, and they put the National League into this kind of pseudo bubble using Arlington. And then, of course, the Dodgers, they were in that bubble for the World Series along with the Rays, who were able to travel in. So a lot of teams and leagues and really sports as a whole having to make massive adjustments and overhauls to what they normally do. But not one league has failed to crown a champion. Every sport that's returned has survived. It may not have looked the same, sounded the same, felt the same. Maybe you wanted to put an asterisk next to it. But the success rate is there. They're batting 1,000, so to speak. And there's no reason why college hoops won't be in the exact same space. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. I wonder if it irks LeBron that everyone on the planet who follows basketball is concerned about the number of minutes. In fact, is counting, not money, but minutes for the King.
Left side, Markieff Morris. One-on-one against Damian Lee. Throws it to a cutting LeBron. Look out. Down the middle, up and in. LeBron's got 12 points in 13 minutes. And the Lakers back up by 20. Here is Schroeder. Right side. Caruso for three. Why not? The Lakers pouring it on. 56-31. Here's a bounce pass. Markieff Morris off the inbounds pass with an easy dunk. And that's the biggest Laker lead of the night. 32 points.
John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. This was no contest. LeBron James only had to log 24 minutes. See what I'm doing there? And they rout the Warriors. Probably good for the Lakers to get a game like this, another game like this, under their belts after they had dropped 5 of 6, to recognize the load that LeBron is carrying and to also want to give him some rest, whether or not he wants to comply. But they went way deep into their bench and had not just Kyle Kuzma, but a couple of guys that you probably have not heard of, scoring in double figures, which is nice when you can empty your bench. So LeBron finishes with 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, making the most of his time. Dennis Schroeder is back in the lineup, not shooting well yet, but did have 12 points. And Frank Vogel says he sleeps better at night when LeBron doesn't have to play in the fourth quarter.
We want to make sure that we're managing him the best we can. He wants to be in there, and you respect that about him. So, you just got to make sure that, as the games go by, you try to stay away from overtime. You know, that's been the biggest problem with the minutes for us is all the overtime games that we've had. But, you welcome nights like this where you can keep those minutes low.
As for the Warriors, it was a mess. 25 points, the most they scored in any quarter. So the offense definitely not working in this one. They were just 8 of 34 from beyond the arc. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's throw one more at you. Giannis with a big Sunday. Red shirt or no, Giannis Antetokounmpo looking like the MVP.
Giannis takes a corner three. Good. ABC. Easy as 1-2-3 for the MVP. Middleton straight away. Lob it deep to Giannis. Caught it. Laid it in with a foul. They had a mismatch down there. Middleton recognized it. It's 100-98. Middleton. Downhill drive. Giannis to the rim. Slam it. Bucks lead by three. We have 2.1 seconds left. This for a 5-point lead for the Bucks. In the air. It's good. Clippers don't take the timeout. This one's in the bank and earning interest. Wow, what a game.
Ted Davis on the Bucks radio network. This one went down to the wire. A lot of fun. Two teams already with 21-plus wins. Giannis logged 40 minutes, 36 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and, oh, wait, four block shots. And so this is a nice way to be able to pick up a quality win. But also, as we've talked about, or as I've talked about, it's important for teams who'd maybe went through a bit of a swoon in the last month or so to find that rhythm before they take a break for All-Star, because that doesn't help, obviously. And while they need a physical and mental break, remember the Bucks had lost 5 in a row for the first time in like 4 years. We talked about the Lakers dropping 5 of 6. And so it's important for these teams that are title contenders to not waste these last couple days before they hit the break.
At the end of the day, this game was a stops game. You know, we were able to just make it as tough as possible for Kawhi and Paul George going down the stretch, because before that, Kawhi was about to get going. And then we realized we got to switch everything and show bodies and be active, and that's what we did. We were able to get stops and just try to make it as tough as possible for them.
You know, he's just being aggressive. I think he's scoring on a lot of different levels. You know, he's getting to the free throw line a lot. You know, and I think he's also, you know, I think playing unselfishly, both, you know, as a passer, as a screener, he's making a lot of good things happen. So, you know, it's he's so good. You just want to continue to appreciate it, but push him to be even better.
Right now, the Bucks sit at 21-13, and after their 5-game losing skid, they've won 5 games in a row. And there are other teams in the East that are surging. So we had a caller last week who was really nervous about the Heat. What should they do at the trade deadline, which doesn't come up for another 3.5 weeks, I believe. But the Heat went from being 6 games below 500 to now being at 500. Get this. This is crazy. In the East, the Knicks are in the number 4 spot. What? 18-17 is their record. They've won 3 in a row. They're just behind the Bucks, who, as I mentioned, have won 5 straight and are actually only a game out of first place in the East. So maybe I should expand the standings or the picture a little bit more. Sixers are 10 games above 500. They've been the best team in the East for a good portion of the season. Right now, they only have a half game lead over the Nets, who've won 8 of their last 10. And this is without Kevin Durant, and Kyrie didn't play on Saturday. Milwaukee Bucks are another half game back of the Nets. Then it gets crazy. The Knicks are at number 4, and they are just ahead of 3 teams with a record of 17-17. The Heat, the Celtics, the Raptors all have the exact same record, 17-17. 17 wins, 17 losses. We're celebrating mediocrity in the NBA. Then you've got the Hornets, who have 16 wins and 17 losses. And then just outside the top 8, the Pacers and the Bulls, who have the same number of losses, but one less win. They're both 15-17. I'm not joking about this. If you check out the standings, it almost gives you a headache, because there are 7 teams right now in the East that have 17 losses. What did I just say about trying to surge to the All-Star break? And if you possibly can make a little separation, it's just nearly impossible. It's like Christmas time at the mall. Watch out for the little old lady with the pointed elbows. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It is time to bid farewell to February. I don't know if I'm ready, but I am excited about March Madness. Straight ahead, a couple of big-time storylines in college hoops to set us up for the beginning of March, of course.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Back to DeJuan, wide open for three. Bang! DeJuan Harris, lightning striking twice. What huge hoops for Mr. Harris. Here comes Ochai, three on one. A lob to Mitch, deep catch. Goes up and under, and he got it to fall. Two more for Lightfoot. KU pouring it on. The Jayhawks up 11.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, those pesky conference battles. Baylor losing its first game of the season. And while the Bears have certainly put themselves in a position to still be a top seed and to be one of the best teams going into March Madness, it is really difficult to play at Kansas, Fog Allen Fieldhouse. I once snuck into that place. It's an older building, but someone had propped a door open, an interior door. So I snuck in the outside door, and then someone had propped open a door leading into the gymnasium, and the basketball team was practicing. Boy, did I feel like a rebel. But it was kind of cool to see inside the place. It's one of the meccas of college hoops that I have not seen a game in person. But one of these days, it's definitely on the bucket list. So congratulations to KU. The call there with Brian Haney on Learfield IMG College. What does this mean for Baylor, a team that drops just his first game of the year and obviously its first game in Big 12 conference play? We'll ask Jerry Palm when he joins us just after the top of the hour. He is busy with bracketology for CBS Sports. Gonzaga staying perfect, now 24-0, including 15-0 in conference. Michigan playing extremely well, has just one loss. What about Duke and North Carolina? Is there a chance neither of those teams could end up in the field of 68? So again, Jerry Palm, top of the hour to talk college hoops and March Madness. It's been too long. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Maybe you enjoyed one of the triple headers Saturday or Sunday on CBS, and we've got more of the same coming up next weekend. So this is how you start to get ready to fill out your bracket so you can win that office pool, because those work remotely, you know. Saturday, teams on the bubble and tournament seeds up for grabs. It's a very fluid situation. It's more of a fluid situation than what we're used to. CBS rolls into March with a college basketball triple header again on Saturday, starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, just like this past weekend. Georgetown at Connecticut, then number 6 Alabama at Georgia, plus a Pac-12 battle between 19th ranked USC and UCLA. March is nearly upon us, and the road to the Final Four continues Saturday with a college hoops triple header on CBS. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page too. For those of you who took our poll about Deshaun Watson, so if you're the Houston Texans, do you trade Deshaun Watson, yes or no? And we had several thousand of you weigh in between our social media, which is kind of cool. I was relatively surprised. That's nearly 69%. So better than two out of three, actually, said the Texans should trade Deshaun Watson, or if you're the Texans, you make that decision. But honestly, there are a lot of people out there who don't understand the stipulations of his contract. There are a lot of people who just keep saying, if you don't trade him, he's going to walk. No, I mean, he might not play, but he stands to lose a hell of a lot of money if he doesn't. So if you missed my conversation with Joel Corey, former agent and salary cap expert from CBS, he joined us to wrap up last week, and we did put the post up on both our Twitter and Facebook, and it's on our podcast, of course. It really explains what Deshaun Watson stands to lose if he decides he's not going to play this season. And as a former agent, I asked Corey, what do you tell Deshaun if he's serious about skipping an entire season? What information does he need to have before he can be informed when it comes to this choice? And so please check out that podcast. It was really funny. This happens all the time. I know people don't read these days. It's more about the headlines and the clickbait. It's not about actually being informed. So this typically happens. I put up the post with a Joel Corey link and the audio on our Facebook page. And the question that I asked to tease, thinking that it might entice people to listen to the interview, I asked people, how do the Cowboys, this is how I started the post, how do the Cowboys re-sign Dak when he has all the leverage? And some guy literally writes underneath the post, how does he have all the leverage? It was all I could do not to write, duh, that's why you're supposed to listen to the interview. I did not. I was a little more diplomatic than that. But when we put these posts up on our social media, it asks and answers a lot of your questions, because I'm asking the questions that you want answers to, trust me. So I would highly recommend our interviews, which are podcasted separately every weekday morning. As much time as it takes you to ask the question, to type up the question on social media, you might be able to get into the interview and actually hear the answer to said question. But whatever, you can be in the dark if you prefer that too. Speaking of quarterbacks, so there wasn't a lot of news over the weekend. There really wasn't. It's kind of quiet. I think when it comes to players and agents, at least the ones that I've spoken to, when it comes to the teams themselves, and this is something we talked about with Joel as well, they're doing their due diligence and preparing for every possible scenario. The report, the idea out there that most are preparing for, most are bracing for, is that the salary cap is going to drop almost to the floor. Now, the floor was raised a little bit. It's like one of those awful rides at the fair where the floor is moving. The floor has been raised a little bit to $180 million roughly. So at least it won't drop below that. But $180 million is a steep decline from a year ago. And there are already a bunch of NFL teams that are over the salary cap. So how do they get to the point where they can fit? They could squeeze under, squeeze into that pair of pants from 10 years ago. Because that may be the last time the salary cap was this low. No, don't quote me on that. I'd have to check. But the idea right now is that teams are preparing. If the salary cap is this, what changes do we make? Who do we cut? Who can we restructure? And for the players, there are many of them who are bracing for worst case scenario, which is getting cut, getting released. If there's no more guaranteed money, you're really susceptible because then there's no salary cap hit. And what happens then? If every team is in the same boat. Now, there are some teams that do actually have salary cap space, but if you consider Jags, Jets, some of the other teams that do have room, it's going to be less room once the salary cap is lowered. And so there's a lot of, I can feel it, tension, a lot of bracing for what is inevitable and then the fallout. Now, if you have been following the story. It's a long saga of the Drew Brees career. If you've been following what's going on with the New Orleans Saints and their quarterback situation, weeks ago, this may have been when they were all in Cabo. You remember Sean Payton and his family, and then Drew Brees and his wife, they were in Cabo at the same time that Sean McVay and Matt Stafford and his wife were there. What a coinkydink. Anyway, if you've been following this, you know that Drew Brees has said the same thing that he always says. After every season, especially lately, it's about taking a break. And he's, I don't know that you get used to the disappointment, but he's certainly in a space where these last few years have not ended the way that he wanted. So we're waiting. All the prognosticators and predictors out there have said he's going to retire. He renegotiated his contract. He still has a year left on his deal. Renegotiated that down to a salary of just over $1 million. Why would you do that? Well, to give the team flexibility. I suppose if you're Drew Brees and you don't care about the money, you're willing to play for a veteran minimum. And the announcement, well, it was going to come this week. Then it was going to come this week. Then it's pending. Oh, it's any day now. Except there's been no announcement. But you know what there has been? And we'll play this audio for you, though I highly recommend that you check out the video on Instagram. This is Todd Durkin working with Drew Brees. So Todd Durkin, an athletic trainer, working with Drew Brees, but really more in awe of what Drees. Oh my gosh. Because I get all excited and I mess up. What Drew Brees is doing when he's supposedly headed for retirement. He's setting all kinds of records and doing things he's never done before.
He wants to go to the mountains.
I don't know where he's going. Let's go. Time is on. Go. Where are we going, Maui? Come on, Tim. To the black and back, Drew. To the black. The black, Drew. Drew, to the black. Drew.
What is he doing?
Drew. What is he doing?
He said to the street.
Drew. What are you doing? Okay. He's never done that. Let's go. Hurry up. Don't know what he's doing. DB, come on. What? Oh, my God. I'm not sure what he's doing. Never quite been done before. He needed a challenge. I said black and back. Woo-hoo-hoo. Time. That's a new record because it's never been done before. That is 50.53.
So Todd Durkin gets cut off there, but you got to go watch the video. We can even share it on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. But Drew is pushing the sled, right? So he's down and he's like parallel to the ground. Well, his back is parallel to the ground. He's bent over at the waist. He's pushing the sled. It's heavy. And he's supposed to push it to a particular point and turn around and come back. Except that he doesn't stop at that particular point and turn around. He goes down this hill. So they're in some kind of a parking lot or a pavement area. He goes down this hill into the street where there's cars. And then he turns around and comes back. But he goes a lot farther than what they normally do. And meanwhile, Durkin, who's taking this video, is also posting comments. Not sure why he's so cray-cray today, but something must be brewing. Now, of course, if you're Todd Durkin, you are privy to the kind of information that most of us are not. You're with Drew Brees on a regular basis. But why is he going all out and working his tail off and knowing it's on video, doing that for all the world to see, but definitely not taking it easy? Now, I know he's maniacal when it comes to his workouts. Maybe he just wants to be in shape for the pickup basketball game with his kiddos. Or maybe he's not yet in retirement mode. Jerry Palm is next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.